Do you want to sit over there then, just to... Yeah. To
okay, we should just go ahead and start this public meeting. Sitting to my left is Justice Thomas Berger. He's a person that's doing the review studies. And there's some key people here. But four or five villages being represented. And the intent of this review is to if you have any questions concerning the Claims Act, the judge is here to take your testimony. There'll be a recording everything you say. If you're going to testify, please state your name and where you're from or whatever, because it's very important that we get a large turnout, but it looks like we had a fair enough turnout. Don't be afraid to stand up and say anything you feel, even if you feel like, you know, it sounds awkward or anything, because each and every one of us are affected by the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act in one way or another, directly. If you have any questions, don't be afraid to address it, and if you feel the jitters in publicly speaking, write it down on a piece of paper and give it to whoever can testify for you. With that, I'll just let the judge here take the floor and do some introductions, explanation as to what he's doing.
Well, thank you very much. my name is Tom Berger, and this is the Alaska Native Review Commission. As Jerry Isaac said, it is to give you, the people who live here, okay. It is to give you, the Alaska Native people, a chance to tell me what you think about the land claim settlement. Your land claims were settled by Act of Congress back in 1971. The regional corporations were set up. The village corporations were set up. You received shares in your regional and village corporations. Land selections were made. Now it's 12 years later. And I've been asked to come around to every region of Alaska and go to the villages and to ask you, well, what do you think of the land claims? What do you think of ANCSA? How have the corporations worked? What are the good things about it? What are the points about which you have complaints to make? Now, I'm not doing this for the federal government, and I'm not doing it for the state of Alaska. I've been asked to come here because the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, asked me to come. And I was also asked to come by the World Council of Indigenous People, which is an international organization of Indians from North America and South America. They asked me to come because they said, those Alaska Natives settled their claims 12 years ago. What happened? They received $962.5 million. What happened to the money? They were to get 44 million acres of land. Have they been able to select the land? Have they still got the land? How is the land protected for the future? The year 1991 keeps coming up at these meetings. I've held meetings now at the Bethel region, some Eskimo villages over there. I held meetings at Atna region at Copper Center in Gulkana a week before last. I held some meetings in Fairbanks last week, and I held a meeting at Nanana yesterday, and all the Alaska Natives and some of the white people who live in those places came out to talk about land claims, about ANCSA, about the corporations. Now, one of the big issues that everybody seemed to be concerned about, perhaps you are too, was 1991. That is, in 1991, you're going to be able to sell your shares in the village and regional corporations. And if enough Native people sell their shares, then the corporations will no longer be Native corporations. They'll be non-Native corporations, and the land will be no longer Native land, but land held by non-Natives. So a lot of people are concerned about what's going to happen in 1991. Some have said, we don't want anybody to sell their shares. We don't want them to be allowed to sell their shares. A few have said, well, no, I'd like to keep my shares. I'd like to sell them and get some money, even if that means we lose our land. Well, those are some of the questions that people are talking about. I think I should also say that 20 years after the land is transferred to the Native people, it can be taxed by the state of Alaska. A lot of people are concerned about that. And then a lot of people are also concerned about the fact that the children born since 1971 don't hold shares in the corporations. And they say, well, why aren't our children participating in this land claim settlement? Why can't they be enrolled as shareholders? And so there's a lot of questions about that. And finally, and it's a pretty important question, a lot of people have been raising the issue of sovereignty, of Native government, tribal government, about IRA councils, and what powers the tribal councils, the IRA councils, should have over the villages and over the land and over the people living on the land. So all of those questions are the kinds of questions I hope you will feel free to raise today, because I'm here to listen. I just want to hear what you've got to say. And I should say that Jim Sykes is with me. He's sitting behind me, and he's here to tape everything that is said so that there will be a permanent record of what you say, and then it'll be typed up and written out, and then we will send that transcript back to your village so you will know what everybody said. And I'm going to write a report after I've been to all the regions of Alaska, and that report will come out in the summer of 1985, and I'll send a copy to everybody who's testified here today, and in it I will say, well, this is what the people of the Native people of Alaska want, so this is my report on their views and their opinions, and I hope my report will be helpful to the Alaska Natives. So, having said all that, I hope that you'll be free to come up to this microphone over here by Mr. Miller, or this other microphone over here, and just sit down and say your piece, whatever's on your mind, and we'll be here all afternoon, and we'll be here again tonight, so we've got lots of time, and I hope to hear from quite a few of you. So we're ready for the first person who'd like to say anything. Yes, sir.
When are we going to get to try to put a land settlement?
Well,
Well,
that's the kind of thing, maybe if you'd like to tell me why you haven't had the title to the land or how long you've been waiting, that's why I'm here.
I've been waiting too long.
Well,
I want my land.
Okay.
This Land Settlement Act you're talking about, I want my title.
Okay, well,
Give me your name and take a seat, and you just talk about it, and I'd like to hear.
My name is Mr. X.
Well, is it?
Malcolm Henry. And this title we've been waiting for so long. When are we going to get it?
Well, you could ask your village corporation or your regional corporation or the Bureau of the BLM about that. Are you talking about a title for you personally, for the village?
No, this is for this land settlement.
He's not here to answer questions. He's here to take testimony.
Oh, testimony.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, you just heard mine.
Mm-hmm.
When is this going to be settled?
Well, it was supposed to be settled back in 1971, but now Native people want to review it. They've got questions like the one you've just been asking. You say, where's your title? Well, if you haven't received your title yet, that's the kind of thing I want to know about.
Yes. Jerry, we never see our title yet, huh?
Collected 94,000 acres from 4 townships, and to date we received only 1 core township. We've been in litigation with the
maybe Mr. Isaac, you could sit at this microphone and bring me up to date on all that. Looks like we're getting started one way or the other.
To date, Tenacross Inc. received Tenacross Inc. had selected something like 90 in the neighborhood of 94,000 acres of ground, but to date, after approximately 12 years, we had only received 1 township, the core township. We've been in Tenacross Inc. has been in litigation with the state and federal governments and various other, should I say, mini organizations in Tok. Concerning our ground, our dual core claims. To date, we hadn't received any further title to our selected lands. That's the current status of Tenacross Inc.'s lands question.
Could you tell me, Mr. Isaac, you say you've received title to the core township?
No.
Just to the core township. You see, what we claimed is since we had some residents from Tenacross, shareholders, registered shareholders, living in another township prior to December 18, 1971, we claimed that we were eligible for a dual core status. Well, the state, chiefly the state government, challenged that, and it went for, hold on. How many years was it before we finally? Yeah, I think we finally had the decision made in our favor just last year. Mm-hmm. We hadn't received the other township as yet. We hadn't received title not only to the other core township, but we hadn't received title to any other lands. All it does is it hinders progress on behalf of a newborn corporation, and later on when I get all riled up, I'll be testifying as to the need to get started because of the complexities of the free enterprise system, which is, you know, in essence, capitalism.
Yeah. You're on the board of the corporation, are you, Mr. Isaac?
Yes.
And is there an IRA council here as well?
Yes.
And is there a state chartered city government?
No.
No. Let's see. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you.
That's all I got. Thank you.
Yes. William Miller, we have your name, sir. Would you like to speak now?
Okay, basically this is a letter that I had prepared after meeting with you at the Village Participation Conference in Juneau. After that time, I felt compelled to write a letter. I've lived in the native village of Dot Lake on and off since 1961. resided there on a permanent basis since 1980. I was not directly involved in the land selection process under ANCSA, but have two brother-in-laws and a sister-in-law that were. Their selection was based on the lifestyle, or a subsistence lifestyle, and not on a cooperative basis. They selected land that would ensure the future of their families in regards to hunting, fishing, trapping, and gathering. The thought of making money from their land selection or developing the land for financial gain had very little, if any, influence on their selections. The land was not selected with financial goals in mind, which has resulted in financial goals having to be developed based on the land selections. I've worked with the Dot Lake Native Corporation for over 2 years, and it seemed where a large amount of the funds have been expended on legal advice. The land was transferred to the corporation, which had a lot of strings attached. The wording in the legal documents allowed for a number of claims to be placed on sections of land, such as easements and right-of-ways. The corporation has had to fight each of these individual cases individually at great expense to the corporation. The land was not transferred free and clear as they understood it would be. The only ones to benefit so far has been the lawyers and other legal authorities. ANCSA has caused a number of problems and misunderstandings with the local native people in a number of smaller villages, had never had any experience at running a business or corporation. The natives accepted many responsibilities that they were not aware of, such as state and federal forms and reports that, if not filed on time, could result in fines and penalties. The maintaining of records and files so as to provide for an annual audit. They're required to conduct meetings and elections in accordance with state and/or federal laws and regulations, and for being liable for injuries and/or accidents occurring on their newly acquired land. By giving the village corporation surface rights and the regional corporation subsurface rights, ANCSA formed a wedge between the people. Village corporations could not give village councils permission to use gravel to build local roads or for community improvement because the gravel belonged to the regional corporation. The regional corporation could not give away the gravel to local villages because of Section 7I of ANCSA, which required revenue from subsurface estates be shared with all corporations. Some of the village corporations with valuable subsurface resources had the feeling that they were being cheated because they must share the revenues obtained from the resources. The large regional corporations were formed and suddenly found themselves with very large cash and land resources. Through poor planning or mismanagement, a number of these corporations are presently in financial trouble. I've talked a number of times with Chief Andrew Isaac, the traditional chief of Doyon Region. Andrew lives in Dot Lake and was very active in the ANCSA agreement. I've been informed by him on many occasions that what has resulted from ANCSA was not what he had understood would be the results. He had the impression that the land would be turned over free and clear to the village entities such as the village council to administer. The lands would be something like trust lands, whereas they could be utilized by the community for subsistence, expansion, development, or as an economical base. But the village would be free to make this decision. In this manner, the land would be available for community use in the future on an equal basis for all residents. Control of the land and land use decisions would be made by the village council, either traditional or IRA. The land would not be taxed because the councils are village governments and their assets are or should be tax exempt. The cash settlements could have been used for community improvement or operating expenses and would have been more beneficial to the residents of the community. After a period of time, some of the cash benefits could have been utilized for local capital improvements or village business ventures if it was the desire of the village. In summary, I'd like to list some of the following problems with ANCSA. The land should have been turned over free and clear. This would have prevented cost of settling claims against the land. The term subject to valid existing rights should not have been included in the IC papers. State and private inholdings such as mineral sites or material sites, easements, right-of-ways, mining claims, and so forth should have been settled by the federal government before the land was transferred. Villages should not have been required to incorporate prior to receiving the land or the cash. Individuals did not have the knowledge of all the ramifications of incorporating. The form of organization under a corporation was alien to a lot of these individuals and their culture of sharing. They were now required to look at their land as being private and a source of income to be protected. They started to worry about trespass, loss of resources, and competition with other local corporations. This has been the basis of a lot of hard feelings between villages, which have traditionally been very close. Native people of Alaska have always looked at competition as a source of enjoyment, such as in sports, and not as a way of life. Some assistance should have been given to the communities prior to land selection so as to receive the greatest benefit from these selections. The requirement that the township in which the village is located be selected should not have been included. Some villages were required to select land that they did not want or did not use just because it was part of the core township. This resulted in not being able to select lands that were desired and/or had been traditionally used. The requirement that all lands be contiguous and compact resulted in a lot of land being selected that was not desired or of any use in order to reach sections of land that they did want. Many feel that the final result of ANCSA will be the loss of the land and the money, and thereby the loss of the native culture and heritage. Some unanswered questions with ANCSA is, where will future 7i distributions go if a regional or village corporation declares bankruptcy or is dissolved by the state for some other reason? If a regional corporation is dissolved, how will that portion of the 7i distribution owed to that region be distributed to village corporations? If a village corporation is dissolved, would the 7i distribution go to the prior shareholders? Also, the question of how is ANCSA binding on individual villages that did not sign anything stating that they, as individual villages, agreed to the terms of the conditions of ANCSA? And basically, that's the end of the testimony.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Mr. Miller. I wonder if you could just let me ask you one or two things. In Dot Lake, what form of government do you have there?
Dot Lake has a traditional 5-member council.
Is it recognized under IRA, or is it a traditional council?
No, it's a traditional council. It's not IRA.
And does it receive grants from the state government?
The traditional council is eligible for the state revenue sharing. It's eligible for, as an entity, for state capital improvement grants. It was not eligible under the per capita distribution that was made by the state. It had to form a nonprofit corporation to apply for that. It's an on-again, off-again thing with the state. If they want to recognize you, they recognize you. If they don't want to, they don't.
Well, I take it there is no state-chartered municipal government at Dot Lake.
No. Dot Lake Village Council is the recognized local entity for the 14C3 municipal trust lands.
So the traditional council would then be the recipient of the 14C3 municipal lands?
No. The state is a recipient in trust. The village council is the local entity. Any decisions made on the land supposedly would have to be a mutual agreement between the state and the village council.
I see.
But if the village council wants something and the state, as a big brother, feels it's not proper, they say no, then that land can't be developed for that purpose. It has to be a mutual agreement.
Has the state urged Dot Lake to set up a municipally chartered city government?
No, there's been some individual legislators that are trying to push this move throughout all of the unorganized borough and unorganized communities. But individually, there's been no pressure. We've gotten along on a halfway decent basis as a traditional council.
When the state makes a grant to the Dot Lake Traditional Council, are there any conditions attached? Do they take a waiver of immunity, for instance?
There's a numerous list of conditions attached to any of the state funds through capital improvement projects. Number one, the funding is not given directly to the village. It's handled through community and regional affairs. The village council has to sign a contract or agreement which has a paragraph in it requiring the waiver of sovereign immunity, which the state claims we do not have, but they make us waiver it anyway. Also, the full amount of the funds normally are not available at any given time. They'll put so much in an account, give us the checks, and as we need additional funding, we have to go back to community and regional affairs and request it until the grant funds are used up. Also, there's always a time lapse in getting these funds and getting projects started, which would be greatly solved if they would just give the money to the community and let them run the capital improvement project that was approved.
Are there non-native people living at Dot Lake?
It's a integrated community as such. They have non-native and native, but the non-natives are married or intermarried with natives. All families there are either native or native and non-native mix in the village of Dot Lake. Now there's also what the state considers Dot Lake, the community of Dot Lake, which includes a highway community.
Includes a what?
A highway area community, which is basically non-native. The traditional council has no control, no dealings with the non-native community as such. Their dealings and everything is strictly for Dot Lake Native Village, which is recognized by the federal government.
I see. Well, thank you very much, sir.
Oh, could we have that written?
Oh, you have it. Okay. Yes, ma'am. No, just talk. No problem.
I'm Alice Oates, and I'm going to represent my husband, Joseph Oates. In 1971, he enrolled at Doyen at Large, and he had flown up to Takotna, where he lived for 30 years, but they had... BLM had withdrawn his homestead, his father's homestead. So in 1973, he enrolled in back to the village of McGrath, feeling he would have a better opportunity to get this homestead back. So he has letters here from Larry Wiggins, the executive director, in July 77, saying that the people of the village said they would be willing to consider approving making the land available to him. In 1978, he was told by Larry Wiggins that Joe could move back into his father's old cabin site any time. In 1982, he was denied the right to go back. Then he wrote to Doyon in January 83, and they said they could not help him. In January 1983, he had a letter from Dave Miller, the chief, saying at an open meeting they denied him the right to have the land. He has Rosemary Hefner of the Alaska Legal Services Corporation now representing him in this matter. And she has written many letters to Dave Miller, and he does not even answer them. And she is trying to think about going to court about it. Then he wrote to the land trust officer about it, and they said they couldn't do anything unless the village decided to give him the land. Now he has a report from the village, MTMT, and Larry Wiggins, the executive director, they have now released him because of financial problems in the corporation. It was very obvious, they said, that the corporation of MTMT was grossly mismanaged, and they had an accounting audit the books who said the auditor was a nightmare, and it cost $79,000 to do this little village corporation. And Joe is one of them that wants to sell his stock in 1991. He says he doesn't care if he sells them to Japan or New York stock market, because he'll be 81 and doesn't feel he'll live much longer. and he hasn't gotten anything out of the Doyon. His small dividend went to the village of McGrath, and he lived in Takotna 30 years, and they will not give him his, it's just an acre and a half of an old cabin of his where he lived and was brought up since he was 9 years old, and it's just that he wanted to live there summers. There's nothing about business or anything about it. And Rosemary Hefner is still working on that. Is there anything else you want to say, Joe? I guess that's about it.
Okay, thanks very much.
My name is Ted Charles. I currently live in Tok, and I am enrolled into both Doyon and Dot Lake Native Corporation. I am presently employed by the Tanana Chiefs Conference, but also serve as the president of Dot Lake Native Corporation. And I have served the Dot Lake Native Corporation since 1974, both as an officer and a board member of the corporation. A little background to the corporation is that we only have 45 shareholders. It's a very small corporation. And one of the things that was required by the Claims Act was that we either incorporate as a nonprofit or a profit corporation. Back in those years, we opted to incorporate as a profit-making corporation, hoping to make some monies for our shareholders. But some of the problems we have encountered since then is in regards to the land. As per the Claims Act, we're only required 69,120 acres of surface rights to those lands. The subsurface rights go to Doyon. And the high cost to the smaller corporations is outrageous because you gotta pay attorneys, land consultants, and various other people to assist the corporation in trying to get a halfway decent clear title to your surface rights. Just within the past couple of years, we received about 95% of our lands, which has been interim conveyed. And the other 5% is still in limbo. We're still fighting over easements and rights of ways, things like this. And also in regards to land, ANCSA and an amendment to the D2 Act, there's a 20-year exemption from taxation. But then on the other hand, the corporations are still subject to involuntary land losses such as taxation after the 20-year period if the state decides to tax those lands, adverse possession, condemnation, or the sale of stock after the 1991. And some of the things that we're looking at that concerns the corporation is the 1991 date. How do we keep control of our stocks? And how do we protect our stocks from being sold outside the corporation? And the other thing is the so-called non-participants of the corporation. These are kids being born after the Claims Act. And in Dot Lake's case, there's approximately 26 kids that were born after ANCSA. And there's no provisions in the Claims Act to protect these kids. as you can see, the population of the people has increased by 50% in regards to the total enrollment of the corporation. You know, the only way that stocks can be transferred is if they're willed or deeded to a person or the kids. And the other thing that concerns us, approximately 50% of the shareholders are elders. When I'm saying elders, they're from about 65 on. And these are a number of the issues that we're trying to deal with. And in dealing with those things, you know, you've got to hire legal advice and all these things to make sure that we are complying with the state laws. And this gets very expensive to the corporation. What should have been done is that an extension on the sale of stock should have been increased the same time we got an extension on the 20-year tax exemption subject in regards to the land. And I think that's basically what all I have to say now.
Mr. Charles, how do you think the shareholders of your corporation would feel about restricting their right to sell their shares in 1991? We just heard it said that...
I think that, as in most communities, some will disagree with that. But I also think that the corporation should have the first right of refusal for those stocks also, to keep control of the corporation. If the corporation does not have that right, then most likely what will happen is that a large amount of shares will be controlled by outside interests. And in doing that, then, that would not guarantee the other shareholders probably the right to use their lands as they always have been used.
Well, do the people in Dot Lake prefer to see their lands used for subsistence purposes?
When the lands were selected, approximately 75% of those lands, or two townships, were selected for subsistence purposes. And most of that include areas around lakes and quite a bit of swampland, which doesn't do us any good, no. Yeah. I think, you know, the Claims Act was something new. And people, it was foreign to people. They've never had to deal with corporations or the functions of corporations, you know. And I think that they probably tried the best that they could, you know, to select those lands.
Some people in some of the places we've visited have said, well, why not transfer the land from the corporations to the traditional council or the IRA council? Then it would be immune from taxation and it couldn't be sold and so on and so forth. Do you have any thoughts about that idea? Is that practical, impractical? Would the shareholders oppose it? What do you think?
In Dot Lake's case, I think that it will not be practical because Dot Lake was not settled until the early 1940s, I mean, the late 1940s, and Dot Lake is basically a new community within the area, you know. But the concept of transferring the corporate lands into trust lands is a very good idea.
What kind of trust do you think that into a trust of the kind that would mean that the federal government would be trustee and the local community would be the beneficiary of the trust, or some other kind of trust with a different kind of trustee? Have you thought about that?
Yeah, I think if the federal government was the trustee of the lands, I think things would work out a lot better. Because for one thing, you're tax exempt, and then you can manage your lands and control your lands a lot better than under the present system.
Well, maybe I'm missing something here, but in principle, you think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I think it is.
In Dot Lake, you think it wouldn't work, and I didn't quite understand why.
I guess the reason for that is if you're going to incorporate as an IRA, then you've got to show, from what I've heard, you've got to show historic use of the lands, and you've also got to show a historic settlement of a community, and Dot Lake being a fairly new community, but a community that was organized, I think it was in 1946 or 47, you know.
I see what you mean. I follow you now. But if Dot Lake had had an IRA council established in the 1930s and the community had been there for many years before that, you'd see no problem.
Right.
I follow you. Have you thought about whether there should be any other restrictions on sale of shares beyond giving the corporation the right of first refusal? How, for instance, the right of first refusal, how would the price be determined? How would you?
By fair market value.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the only fair way to go.
Okay.
Which kind of would be high, you know.
Would be what?
Would be fairly high in regards to taking the land value into consideration and taking a percentage of that mm-hmm. to be included in the shares or the stock.
So that in the way, if you gave if there was a right of first refusal, then you'd have it both ways. The stockholder could sell and get fair market value, but the corporation could buy the stock and thus keep the corporation and the land under native control.
Right. What I think we're trying to look into is that the shareholders would offer the shares to the corporation prior to any public sale.
Yeah.
What would happen if you couldn't afford to buy them?
I think that would probably depend on your village corporation that you're enrolled in. You know, I can't answer your question because you are not a shareholder of this corporation.
No.
Yeah.
No, that's the point that Mrs. Oakes is making. What if the village corporation didn't have any money, couldn't exercise its right of first refusal?
I think that there's always a way to work things out. You know.
I see. I think so too. Thank you, Mr. Charles.
The old gentleman who just walked in is John James, who's the oldest person who talks about 10 years of your life. And you might want to recognize him, but he can't hear very well.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something?
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Yes, I'm Horace Biederman, and I'm president of the Hunkergen Corporation from Eagle, Alaska, Eagle Village. I've been the president there for 8 years out of the 12 years since the land claims. I thought I might be nervous to speak, but at this time I'm not. Mr. Charles, who preceded me, come from the newest village. I come from one of the oldest villages, or the oldest incorporated town in the interior. The gateway to the interior of Alaska during the Gold Rush area. But also I come from one of the prejudiced towns in the state of Alaska. There's 3 miles separate the town of Eagle and the village of Eagle. So after the land claims, it put us on an economical base equal to anyone there in that community. Although some of us never knew what a corporation was, including myself. I believe that the land claims developed leaders that weren't heard of before, and some of us that were leaders before, the ones that were leaders before, I believe that some of them were ruined during the land claims time. The social life become very heavy. I believe that it ruined some of our leaders, but also it developed leaders that were not heard of before the land claims. Speaking about your land, the two farms of land that was given to regional and village corporations, the subsurface and the surface rights of corporations. I believe that the regional corporations have never fulfilled their promises to the village corporations. I believe that they were the mother corporation and it was attended that way. But greed between us has caused them to always look for what they could make, never to help us when they signed a contract with oil companies or mining companies, to not include us in their profit thinking. Because it is hard to hold an audit every year. For example, even with 101 people, your audit is costing us around $5,000 a year.
Your corporation has 101 shareholders?
Yes.
I see.
And
how much is the audit a year?
Around $5,000, $3,000 to $5,000 normally a year with your bookkeeping system. So I feel that the regional corporation of Doyon in this area has never fulfilled their obligation to the smaller villages and corporations. Because they made it in the land claims that everything was mergeable. The surface rights, the under and the subsurface rights. Everything goes together. They tried their best to make sure that we were married, but yet after the claims, there was not this unity that should have shown forth. As for our newborn, I believe that there is ways that we could show that they belong to us through inheritance. At this time, I don't believe that the corporation could, until there's a future amendment in Congress, that there could be, that you could involve them in the corporation outside of inheritance. And the right of first refusal for the sale of our stock, it would be right to have the right of first refusal, but I don't believe that it's going to be physically possible for some corporations to meet this need, because I believe that we don't have the money to do this. It would definitely be nice if we could hold the right of first refusal. But yet during the struggle of the land claims itself, one of the basic themes of the land claim was to get away from the BIA system, to look to govern ourselves, to make our own destiny. And so therefore I see no alternative for us but to respect that right of that individual at that time, to give him the right for the sale of that stock, even though we don't have the right of first refusal. People and the stockholders in general, I think, are there of my age and older or younger. They're looking for the monies that was given to the people. Everything is in millions and billions. I know for sure that my corporation, as a small corporation, has given out more money than any other corporation in the Doyon region outside of Doyon. We have given out in the neighborhood of $3,600 out of surplus, would it be surplus cash, I believe.
To every shareholder?
To every shareholder. That has not rendered our corporation helpless. We are still vital. We can still make a major deal for what we want in our area, even though the stockholders have received that money. I want to express again that as far as I know, that Doyon, after reading the land claims and being the president of my corporation, has not fulfilled their mother obligation to us, to my corporation, and I don't believe that they've fulfilled it to other corporations within my area. I am not talking basically about Doyon and its region, about losing the money that has been lost in the past year or the last 3 years, because we own a lot of land and all that is one oil well.
And all that what?
And all of the money that we've lost, Doyon has lost, that is only one oil well to us.
If you find one.
If we find one. There's a lot of I believe that it is the land claims has strengthened our people though. I believe this. Politically and within the business world, it has strengthened us to great extent. I fully believe that anywhere here in Tanacross, Tope, Northway, Dot Lake, or anywhere in our region, that we are one of the biggest corporations within our area, and that we are vital, and we're strong, and we'll continue to stand strong, and therefore I'm not too worried about 1991. And that's the end of my statement.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Biederman.
Well, I want to speak about the...
State your name.
Eh?
Give them your name.
How I? take them down?
Your name.
I don't want to make too loud. Oh, mention my name?
Yeah.
Oh, my name's Oscar Isaac.
Thank you, sir.
And I live in here in Tanacross. I was born and raised right here in the Sand Village. And what I want to bring it up, I don't know about any one of you. If you don't like it, tell me right on my face. And I can tell you back why that I don't like it. This for the land. Cooperation land. And I would like to tell you people in Tanacross, Northway, Dot Lake, I want you to listen to me what I said. And I probably don't bring the sensible, but I probably bring sensible. We don't know yet. What I don't like in those village cooperation land. We have a 6 mile by 6 miles cooperation. That's one piece land. And when we have a meeting down in Anchorage, I forgot what year it was, probably 71. And here in meeting, they talk, the first time that we went into meeting about those land claim. And them days, the guy was have a bunch of paper like that and read it off to the hundred of people there. And that time I heard what that man said. He said, if we accept the land, 40 million acre, $96 million money coming along with it. If the people accept that, if the people accept that, the native themselves will settle that land down. That's the way they read it off that first paper. And after a while, they read it off state law, coming along with that land. And sooner or later, everybody jumped back to the state law, where that native got right to settle their land down there themselves. If they're not going to keep it up like this, why should they bring that up then? That's something I really don't like that. If I'd been in the business with any kind of business, I'd rather be right with white, I'd rather be right with Native, I'd rather be right with black. This is the way I look at it to myself. But this thing, what I've been hurt, I don't be really happy about it. But sometimes it's trouble with me. I have a lot of trouble with me. I don't understand English too well. And I probably don't speak the English well, too. Because I don't have no school. And them days, they talking about land claim. That's the way I heard. And after that, we have to go by white people, state law. Somebody have to come around, show off that state law. And how can they, let's say it this way, how can I coax you around, all the white people, what you don't want it, after I promise you? What is going to turn be happen then? This is a waiting in the future. This is going to be cause a lot of trouble if the man open up his eye and look at it. We do not want trouble with nobody. We want to be friendly and treat one another right. But today, a lot of white people goes to our timeship land, landing with a plane. You see their track, and you don't know where they came from. Where's all those Doyon people? They're supposed to watch for that. And all this thing, it doesn't work right. And when we were done in Anchorage meeting, they said from the time that the native accept the 40 million acre land and $96 million, 20 years up, then we're going to pay tax.